Well, welcome again, everyone. Tonight I want to discuss an important topic for Christians, but not just those who come to church and want to be discipled and those who are involved, but for every believer. If you believe in Jesus, there's one attribute we should all have, and that is to serve. All of us should have the heart to serve, not because we feel obligated, like it's our duty to, but it should come out of thankfulness and gratefulness for what Jesus did for us. And so we're going to look at a few verses tonight. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul. We're going to look to Jesus. And we're going to just kind of glean from some scriptures on the importance of serving. And not only what it takes to serve, but the motive behind serving. And what strengthens us, what empowers us to serve. You know, there's a great book out there by Warren Wiersbe, and it's called On Being a Servant. And he defined ministry as this: ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. And so we're going to kind of glean off of that from the scriptures, from the Word of God, and see exactly what he means there. Divine resources, human needs, loving channels for the glory of God. So let's pray and we'll get into the word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for this time together. We ask that you bless this time, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, that we would be challenged, that we would be even more equipped to serve, to bless others in your name, Lord. So teach us tonight, Lord, as we settle in. Cleanse our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Anything that would hinder us from hearing from you, we ask that you would remove it, Lord, and speak to our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be starting in verse 19 and reading through verse 23. If you need a Bible, if you don't have one, slip your hand up. We'll put one in your hand. We'd love you to follow along with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. Paul writes, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might be all means, or by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you." This is the heart of the Apostle Paul. Now, a little background on Paul, formerly named Saul of Tarsus. He had quite an amazing ministry before he was saved. His ministry was capturing and arresting all Christians and burning down churches. That was what he did. He was misguided, to say the least, thinking he was serving the Lord, but he was actually persecuting the Lord. In fact, in the book of Acts, we read Saul's conversion to Paul, as he was on the road to Damascus, And a bright light shone, and the Lord knocked him off his horse onto the ground. And the words from the Lord came to Saul and said, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul? Why are you persecuting me?" Saul was indeed a wicked man. He was the worst of the worst. As I said, he arrested, was part of killing, burning down churches, anything that was proclaiming Jesus he was attacking. And now this man has a heart, a new heart, from Christ. It's like Ezekiel 36:26 tells us that when we come to the Lord, he gives us a new heart. He takes our heart of stone, he gives us a heart of flesh, and he puts his spirit in us. There's a complete transformation that happens. And when we come to Christ, we can't help but, as the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, "How might I serve you, Lord?" See, we look to Jesus, we look to the cross, we look at what the Lord has done for us, and we have to respond. There has to be a response to the pain, the suffering, and the shame that Jesus took from us. All that suffering, every dirty thought, every dirty deed that we have done was nailed to the cross. So there must be a response. The gospel demands a response to those who come to Jesus and find forgiveness. There has to be a response. And that response should be, "How might I serve you, Lord? How might I serve you?" You know, we're told in the Bible that we are no longer ours. For those who are in Christ, we are dead to ourselves and alive in Christ. We're new creations in Christ, but we are his now. We belong to the Lord. And so when it comes to serving, one of the first things we have to recognize is we are not our own anymore. Right? Yes, we still have a free will that God has given us. We can say, "No, Lord, I don't want to do it." But we should, with all our hearts, say, "What would you have me do, Lord? How can I serve?" I want to read something out of Mark chapter 10. You can hold your place there. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians. But anytime I'm looking at Scripture, I have to go and turn to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What does Jesus say about serving? And then we'll get into depth on the 1 Corinthians chapter 9 area. Mark chapter 10, the Gospel of Mark, verse 35 through 45, says, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory.' But Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' So Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared.' And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many.'" James and John come to Jesus, And look at what it says here. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Sometimes when people come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, through what they might see on TV or the radio, there is a false doctrine. Well, there are many false doctrines out there. There is this one that says, name it and claim it. If you have faith, you just ask and you're going to receive everything you want. Or they say, sow your seed, send your money in, and the more you send, the more you're going to be blessed. It's garbage. It's false doctrines. There are many Christians that actually believe that they can talk to the Lord like this. As if we have some inalienable right to come and demand something from the Lord. This was their attitude, though. We want you to do whatever we ask. Jesus says, okay, well, what do you want me to do for you? And their answer was, we want to be on your right hand and your left hand and in your glory. Jesus said, you're not going to be able to partake of the cup I partake of, or the baptism I partake of. The cup is the cup of suffering that Jesus is speaking of. Partake the cup of suffering. He says, indeed, you're going to. In fact, John was boiled alive, didn't die, so they banished him to the island of Patmos where God gave him the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he penned that down. Boiled alive. James was martyred. They indeed did partake of the sufferings with Christ. But they wanted to be great. And Jesus says, you know, the Gentiles, those that are considered rulers over the Gentiles or slave owners, love to lord it over them, really show their power. We own you. They love to lord it over people, exerting their authority. But Jesus says, for you, it's not going to be so. You're not going to lord over anyone. Jesus says here in verse 43, this shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. You want to be great in the sight of the Lord? Do you want to do things that please the Father? Do you want to bless God? Be a servant of all. Not just those who, when you serve, it's going to benefit you some way. But serve the least of these. As Jesus said, that serving the widows and the orphans, it's pure and undefiled religion. Serve the least of these. Go to the places, serve those who can't give anything in return. And you will be blessed, my friend. You will be blessed. When you serve those that have nothing to offer you and give back to you, God just pours out his blessings on us. Because being a servant is being great in the sight of God. You know, the world says that you need to get to the top of the chain, the top of the ladder, corporate ladder, in the social life ladder, whatever it is you're doing, you need to be on the top of it. And the Lord says, no, you need to be down here. You need to reduce yourself. You need to make yourself small. You need to humble yourself in the sight of God. The world says, get what you can get and store up as much treasure as you can here on earth. The Lord says, give it all away, man. Give it all away. The gospel is so opposite to what the world says. The word of God is so opposite to what the world says. The word and the world are conflicting. They're opposed. The word is spirit. The world is the flesh. And so they're always going to be at each other. And it happened with the disciples as they mentioned this to Jesus. But here's the key. Whoever of you, any of you who desire to be first, shall be slave of all. He's calling us to be a slave of all. serving others. It was Jesus who washed the feet of his disciples. He took the lowest job in a household of those times, the lowest job that the lowest slave would do. He washed the feet of the disciples, showing what it means to serve, showing what it means to be a slave of all. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Okay, we look at the life of Jesus. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So if we say we follow Jesus, I want to follow Jesus, then it means we have to mimic our teacher as disciples, as students. Jesus came to serve. We should be serving. And I'm not putting a guilt trip on people to serve in the church. I'm putting God's word in your heart to say, look, we all need to serve others. It's through serving, not only in the church, outside of the church, but through serving, you get the opportunity to show the love of Christ. Through serving others, they get to see what and who Jesus looks like, hopefully, if we're doing it with the right motives. People get to see Jesus in action. You know, we're called to be his hands and feet. We're the church. And Jesus himself, he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Folks, when we come to the question of servanthood and serving others, ultimately, the motive behind our serving should be gratitude and thankfulness for what the Lord has done in our lives. Sometimes I have to myself go back to the cross, go back to when I first came to the Lord and just remember where I was when he pulled me out of the pit. As a reminder that he pulled me out, he saved me, he washed me, he made me clean. Every good and perfect gift that is in my life now has come from the Father of lights, as we're told in the book of James. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So as I stand dwelling, not looking back on what God has done in my life, I'm reminded, Ryan, you do not belong to you anymore. You were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. When he went to that cross on Calvary, he paid for my sin, my shame, and he has done the work in my life. He has made me the new creation. He has been the one who's changed my mind, changed my heart, made me who I am today. So I don't belong to myself anymore. And that's a good principle to keep with us every day. Every day we wake up, because we're actually told to daily deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. We are told to do this daily. We deny ourselves daily, because every day the flesh is trying to rise up, make a comeback. And one of the greatest tools we have that God has given us to kind of get out of ourselves and our problems we're going through. Maybe we're having pity parties, I like to call them. I know I go through them in my life. The greatest thing that God has given me to do is serve others. When you serve others, you get out of yourself. Plain and simple. When you're serving others, your problems fade away. Even last night, there were many from the church that we went out to serve the homeless. And as you're out there, just thinking how hot it is out here, but yet we're going back to air conditioning or going back to cool places to stay. The people out there are living in this. They're living in this heat. They're living in these dirt parking lots, camping out in tents. And it really gives you a perspective of how blessed we are. And any problems I think I have, I pull up into a ministry like that and be a part of a ministry like that and serve others, I forget about all my problems. They all just got real small. Serving is a great gift that God has given us all, and it's one we're supposed to utilize. I want to read that quote again from Wiersbe, because it's about servanthood. It's about serving. And when he says ministry takes place, you can put the word serving. Serving takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. When divine resources, let's look at the resources that God has given us. Number one, for a born-again believer, we have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in us. The one who leads us and guides us and directs us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Also, in the midst of these divine resources that we can use are the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that God has given us. We all have them. They're clearly labeled here, all the gifts of the Spirit. Use the gifts that God has given you to serve others. The gifts that God has given us are for the edification of the body, and that includes serving others in Christ's name, letting people see Jesus in your life. He's given us gifts. I've come across some people that just blow my mind with the hearts of compassion that God has given them, where they can come alongside anyone and just start praying. And it's a beautiful thing to see. That's a gift that God has given them. But if we take all the gifts that God has given us, and the salvation he's given us, and the Holy Spirit who he has indwelled in us, and we do nothing with it, we're going to be like the salt and sea. We're just going to start stinking. And it's so true. The living waters in us, they just become stale because we're not pouring out. There's no outlet. And so serving is so key, folks. It's so key to our walk with the Lord. I want to read out of 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are the ones who have received the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and are called to be the light of the world. We are the stewards. We are the ones who God has given us the revelation of the mysteries of his word, salvation, everything he's given us. And what happens when we take something and we're stewards of something, we do nothing with it? There's nothing happening. We're not being effective. We're not doing anything for the Lord. He says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful with the stewardship of the mysteries of God. So all the revelations that God has given us, when we come to the cross, when we come to that place and we invite Jesus Christ into our heart to be Lord and Savior, at that time, you are a steward of the mysteries of God. Now you know Jesus Christ, right? Now you have a relationship with Jesus. Now you are a steward to go and share that relationship with others. Folks, look at the world right now. This whole world is starving for hope. And they're looking everywhere except right here. They're looking to find hope in drugs, alcohol, media, social lives. I mean, the list goes on and on. Trying to fulfill this purpose to find hope. Where's the hope at? And we are the stewards of hope. We have the answer for hope right here. We have the gifts to give other people. We're stewards of the kingdom of God. We have been given the revelation of the mysteries of God, and it says it is required that as stewards we are found faithful. We have a job to do. We have a job to do. We need to let others know about all that's been given to us. We need to share that with others, not just hold it in, but share. And folks, when you're serving others, it's such an amazing opportunity to do just that, to share with them. Look, when I got saved, I was about 2 months in as a Christian. I had no knowledge of the Word. I didn't even know how many books were in the Bible. I didn't know anything. I just knew that God saved my soul. And I was telling other people about it, and I knew nothing about the Word, right? I knew nothing about the Word. I couldn't get into a debate on theology. I didn't even know what theology was at the time. But I said, hey, man, you got to try Jesus, man, because he's changed my heart. He's changed my heart, and you got to try Jesus, man. You got to try Jesus. Get off the drugs. Try Jesus, man. I'm telling you, he's real, guys. He's real. And there was a guy that I was ministering to, telling about that. He came to the Lord 5 years ago. And he called me up and he said, man, when you got saved, you were telling me about Jesus and it started making me think. Another 5 years went by. He gave his life to the Lord. 2 months later, he was killed in a motorcycle accident across the I-10 on Monterey, where the AMPM is. He was hit by a semi. 2 months after he received the Lord. He received the Lord on Resurrection Sunday. I didn't know much about the scriptures. I didn't know much about anything. I just had to tell him about Jesus because he changed my life. And I know I'll see my buddy Frank in heaven, and because I know he was saved. It's so important that we get out and be bold about sharing love. That's what you're doing. You're sharing love with other people. Be bold in your faith. Serving others. Going back to where we started in 1 Corinthians, Paul gives us some practical tools to help us serve. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul kind of gives a description of his ministry as he serves others. For though I am free from all men, he says in verse 19, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. Though he is free, he is not a slave. He is a free man. He has made himself a servant to all, or a slave to all. He has made himself that slave servant, bond servant, doulos. He has made himself a servant. Paul had one important factor that I want to point out here. When we read that verse, that even though he was a free man, he made himself a slave. He made himself a slave to all so that he could serve them. And it says so that he might win the more. Winning other souls to Christ. That was his motive behind it. And the catalyst for the Apostle Paul was a word called humility. He humbled himself. There are many people in this world that can get tripped up, or sometimes stumbled even, because we're in such a high place as Christians, right? That they feel like they're so far down here. We don't ever want to be in that position. When you're ministering and serving others, you never want to be up here untouchable, just completely out of reach. In fact, you want it to go like this. you want to be down here and you want to elevate them. You want to be down here serving them. Paul had that very key element that we all need, humility. He humbled himself. He wasn't puffed up. Because oftentimes, folks, when we serve, if we start to feel puffed up or we go to where we're above whoever we're ministering to or serving, we can be a stumbling block. You know, and look on the TV. I mean, there's enough stumbling blocks on television. And TBN is filled with them. Stumbling blocks everywhere. Like, how am I going to receive, if I'm in a condition that I was in when I got saved? I lived in poor quality living, I guess you could say. I couldn't listen to somebody preaching to me about the gospel in an Armani suit with a bunch of diamond rings on, and it just didn't fit. Something didn't seem right to me. I thought, man, the church just wants money, man. That's what it's all about. And it was a stumbling block for me for some time. We have to be humble and be real. Paul was humble and he was real. Paul, remember, he had a whole lifetime. He was, as he said, the Pharisee of Pharisees. He studied under the greatest minds in religion. He was intelligent. He knew the Word of God. He knew all these things. Yet he persecuted so many. And now here's Paul being a slave to all. Even though he's free. Look, even though we have the liberty and we have what we call free will given to us, yes, we have that liberty, but we should still be as Paul and become slave to all, servant to all. He says, to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul, being Jewish, being the Pharisee of Pharisees, he says, look, I'll become as them, if it means winning them to Jesus Christ. He's not compromising the liberties he has. He's not compromising his faith. He's simply trying to get on the same level as who he's ministering to. Again, we never want to be up here, folks. Whenever we're sharing with others or we're serving others, and it doesn't matter where you're serving or who you're serving, always you want to be down here. Don't ever be up here. To the Jews he became as a Jew, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law, Jews, Gentiles. He just became, wherever God placed him, he accepted it and he ministered at that level. And he shared at that level. He served at that level. When God called me into children's ministry, it was a funny story. I got saved, and when I started coming here at Calvary Chapel Palm Desert 7 or 8 years ago, I was learning the Bible here. This was the first church I came to that was teaching the Bible. And when I came here, I really wanted to serve. But I had this perspective that was just a little bit off. See, I said, well, I used to be in a heavy metal band, and I used to do all this stuff. I need to be on the soundboard. That's what I should be doing, right? Because I have music experience, you know. God wants to use that. And it was the wrong place for me. It was wrong because it was me doing it. You know, ministry takes place when divine resources meet human needs through loving channels to the glory of God. I was missing those attributes. So one day I'm at a conference, and the conference, the message is go. That was the whole theme of the one-day satellite conference, go. And they were preaching on how when God calls you to do something, you just go. You might not think you're qualified, and that's good. You might not think you can't do it. That's even better, because then God is the one who's glorified in what you do. So I heard this message, and then it was 2 days after the message on go, just go, that I got a call from a lady who was doing children's ministry at the time. She said, "Ryan, why don't you come and sit in here with the children with us? Would you like to do that?" And I was like, And then, that, you know what was ringing in my head was that conference. Just go. Just go. And I said, okay. And I hung up the phone and I said, oh, Lord, what did I just do? What did I just do? See, I was very unqualified and unready for children's ministry in my mind and in my heart. But God had a plan for me in that. He took me to a place that I never thought or wanted to be a part of, or so I thought. But God used that, changed my heart, and now there's nothing I'd rather do than serve the kids. And my heart's always with the children in this church. And it's because God did that, not because of anything Ryan did. It's all what God did. See, God, this ministry, the children's ministry, and what he's done in my life is for his glory. Because anybody who knows me before he called me into children's ministry said, this surely has to be God that you're in there with the kids. It has to be God working, and it was. And it is. I point that out because sometimes God calls us into strange places to do strange things. And sometimes where he wants you to serve and where he wants you to be a part of, you're trying to justify why you can't do it up here. That's usually a sign that that's exactly where God wants you to go, when you start justifying why you can't do it. Oh, I didn't take schooling here. Oh, I don't even know what those people are like. I've never been a biker. I've never been homeless. I've never been a junkie. I've never been an addict. I don't know what to do. But the truth is, we're all sinners. We got to look at God's perspective, right? We can't call sin by its different names and say addiction, pornography, drug addiction, alcohol, whatever it might be. No, it's sin. We're all sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God. When you have that perspective of it, when you minister to others, it's going to humble you, because there's no difference from me and the man sleeping out there in a tent on the dirt road. There is no difference between the two of us. God made us both in his image. He died for both of our souls. We are both sinners in his sight. The only difference there might be is I've found redemption in Christ, and I'm praying that he will. That's the difference. We're all created in the image of God. And every soul who comes through these doors and that you come into contact with outside the church, remember, every person you come into contact with, if it was only them on this earth, Jesus would still come and die on the cross for them. It puts much more worth and value on individuals that you come into contact with. Because we have to remember that. Jesus died for them. We need to walk humbly, folks. Paul had humility here. He says, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. To the weak I became as weak. To the Jew I became as a Jew. To the Gentile I became as a Gentile." Wherever God places us, minister at that level. People don't need to hear about all our achievements and, man, I tell them, you know what? My righteousness on my best day is filthy rags. On my best day, the very best day of my Christian walk, that righteousness was like filthy rags that was from me. So I'm no better than anybody else, and neither are you. This is the heart of a servant. This is what drives a servant of God. Humility, recognizing we're no different. We need to be real with people. We need to let people know our shortcomings and let them know what God has done in your life. So when we serve others, again, serving is so important because it gives us the opportunity to do that. As the Apostle Paul said, I have become all things to all men. And what's the motive behind it? That I might win some. That I might win some. Now this I do, listen, for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Do this because of what Jesus has done for us. And that's the motive that drives us, that should drive us to serve. And again, if you have trouble getting to that place where you feel like you're just too busy with life and you just don't have time to serve others, or you're too busy, or whatever it might be, go back to the cross. Go back to the place where you were there in your puddle of sin and Christ came into your life and pulled you out of that pit. Go back there. Realign with where you came from. And then ask yourself, am I still too busy to serve? Folks, we need the heart of servants more than ever right now. We need to be servants for the Lord. We need to be bold servants of Christ, sharing with others, not scaring others, sharing with others in love. Our speech being seasoned with grace. We need hearts of compassion for the lost. And we need hearts that cry out to the Lord on their behalf that they might be saved. Family members I have that are lost still, and it breaks my heart because they're on a fast track to hell. And I'm praying for them. I'm ministering to them. And one thing I heard one of my cousins say, is that's good for you, it worked for you, but not for me. I'm like, man, Christ died, he suffered and died for the whole world. The sins of all mankind, all the sins, past, present, future, he died for everyone. And I tell them over and over, man, God loves you. And I'm praying that God will save them before it's too late. Why serve? If you turn with me to the right, to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start in I'm going to read verse 10. But then I want to go back and we're going to read from verse 1 to 9. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This has become one of my life verses, one of the things I'm continually reminded of, something that God has put on my heart to remind me when I serve, when I feel I'm tired, or I feel like I'm not on the right path he wants me on, I go to this verse. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In that verse alone, we are reminded that we are created by God. We're his workmanship. He has crafted us. He has put us together. He has designed us, each of us individually. He has designed us and he's made you who you are. God has made you. You are his workmanship. Sometimes when I feel I'm not good enough, I don't measure up in certain areas, I'm reminded right here that to God I'm perfect because he created me exactly the way I am. I'm his workmanship. You are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. God has good works planned for each and every one of us. He has a path for each and every one of us, which God prepared beforehand, before you were even born, before the foundations of the earth were laid. God had a plan for you. Trip out on that. God had a plan for you before the foundations of the earth were laid. That's just mind-blowing to me. He's had a plan for me long before I was even born. Way before I was born. He had a plan for my life. He prepared a path for each and every one of us to walk in. That we should walk in them. And that's the call from God. That we would walk in the path that he has for us. That we would do the good works that God has prepared for us. We all have them. God has good works planned for all of us. And folks, again, I go back to serving because it's so important. Jesus was the greatest servant of all. And we are to mimic Jesus in the way we behave. When we serve, we have an opportunity to do that. We have an opportunity to walk in the good works that God has planned for us by serving others. But let me go back to I want to read verse 1 through 9 because this will really, I pray this will really refresh our hearts as to why we serve. And you, all of us, he, Jesus, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, the flesh, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Here's where we were, all of us. This is where we were, children of wrath, following and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, just as the others, children of wrath. That's where we came from. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By the way, that is our position now. We are children of God. Our position is in the heavenlies. We're just not there yet. But we are sanctified, we are set apart, we are secure, and we are sealed for that position. I love that verse. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then it goes into that beautiful scripture, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's the motive behind our serving. We were all once in darkness. And God, through his rich mercy and through his grace, pulled us out of the pit. So now we have this new life in Christ. What do we do with it? Ask the Lord. I want to suggest the simple prayer. Lord, how might I serve you? Lord, where do you want me to go? What would you have me to do, Lord? If that's your heart's prayer, God will show you. And when he asks you, don't worry about whether you feel qualified to do it or whether you can do this or you, whatever the reason might be, just, as that conference taught me, just go. Take that first step and let God do the rest. As stewards of the mysteries of God, we are called and required to be faithful with it. Faithfulness is answering the call of God by faith, even when we don't understand it. Ask God, he will direct your step. Serving is so important, folks. Serve others. Humble yourself. Come down to the low position. Exalt others higher than yourself. This is what the gospel requires of us, that we become as slaves to all men, that we become as slaves, that we might win them to Christ. Then that's the ultimate goal and the ultimate prayer, that, Lord, that we could be vessels used to win people to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and the heart that you gave him, Lord, to walk so humbly, Lord, as to be slave to all men in order that he might win them to you, Lord. So I pray, Lord, for all of us here tonight. Perhaps some of us haven't started serving you, Lord, and serving others in your name. I pray you would reveal to us where you would have us serve, Lord. Reveal to us where you would have us to go, that we could minister to others, Lord, and we could serve others, and it would be all for your glory, Lord. We thank you for this evening, this time together in your precious word. And as always, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the thanks for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.